Glory to His name. Hope everyone's doing well today. We're going to go ahead and while you're standing and go to the Lord in prayer. I know it's traditional, it seems like, on Wednesday nights. Do we have any spoken prayer requests? Sister Lori. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Most definitely. Most definitely. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side? All right, great. I don't want to miss anyone in the congregation. All righty. Anyone up on the roster? All righty. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. We had some spoken prayer requests at our drama practice tonight. And I know we've said this many times, and we've talked to Brother Kevin. And the testimony he's got and where God's, what he's brought him through and now continuing to bring him through and on his asking the Lord, you know, thanking the Lord for his many blessings on him and his family. But he also mentioned a friend tonight that's suffering with depression and a young man that's, you know, not really seeing answers, and they're sending him to get some treatment. Kevin, what was his name again? I'm sorry, sir. And we just want to keep him and all the other that have suffered from any brain trauma and the situations it's gone over that's been in combat. And I know as we were years ago, they called it something else, but it was almost like battle fatigue. But all the situations, and there's so many suicides, so many other situations in that line of people that are just not really finding answers. And it's hard to leave that area and then come back into the world. And you see, you know, reality and see people coming and going when for so long you've been just, you know, leery and not even knowing if you're going to make it the next day. So, also, when all the young people's been going forth for all the suicides, I think that's, as Brother Chase was saying, that is something real, very real, that we need to keep that in our prayers and our church. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But also her husband got some blood work done and he came back with a problem with blood. So he's got to go up and see a blood specialist. But anyway, pray for them. They're doing it.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Girl that I work with, she's having a lot of tests done.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, a gentleman I work with, it's just had some issues this weekend and they're now... He's nervous and scared point because now they say he's got to go see a cardiologist and do all that. So he's very concerned. Keep him in your prayer also. All right. If that's it, we'll just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, thank you for your many blessings. Dear Lord, thank you for your love. Lord, we just want to worship you tonight. Dear Lord, we just want to lift you up and give you all the honor that you deserve. Dear Lord, as we open up this service, dear Lord, we've opened up with song. And dear Lord, now we're standing together in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, and we're calling on your name. Because, dear Lord, there's nowhere we can go but to you. There are no answers except through you. And, dear Lord, we are nothing without you. And, dear Lord, we just praise your holy name, dear Lord. We ask you to continue to bless our church, our congregation, these here tonight. Lord, whether we're here or down with the young people, dear Lord, and just ask just your blessings to be upon each and every family represented. And, dear Lord, for these prayer requests that have gone forth, dear Lord, I know you can comfort those that are lost. You can strengthen those that need strengthening. But, dear Lord, we're praying for healing. Lord, we're praying for those souls, dear Lord, that are you know, they just, it seem like they're just weighing on balance, dear Lord. May they just be turned to you. And, dear Lord, for that young man, dear Lord, as he's suffering and doesn't really have an answer, dear Lord, and we ask for you just to touch him and those that are working with him. Again, dear Lord, we just praise you. We thank you. And, dear Lord, during this special and most precious week, dear Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for that precious blood that you shed for each and every one of us, dear Lord. May we not forget, dear Lord, what you've done for us, dear Lord. May we just be that vessel that your light can shine through, dear Lord. May we stand for you in all that we do. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' most precious name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Praise God. Miss Penny, you got the information on Saturday. Would you want to announce, please, for the... for the egg hunt?
Yes, egg hunt will be Saturday at 1 o'clock. Invite any kids that you want to. Just they'll need to bring eggs with them, and we'll also have some refreshments for them.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. And then right after that, well, we're going to be moving some stuff around, and for those that are in the drama presentation, we'll be having practice right after the Easter egg hunt. Also, want to invite each and every one of you Sunday morning to our Easter presentation put on by the drama team. It's I'll Stand for Jesus. Y'all probably saw it up. Brother Kevin had it up earlier. It's a completely different type of Easter presentation. It's not your traditional, so come with expectations. But most of all, what we're going to ask you to do is our praying family. Let's be in much prayer for those that come. Because God, as Brother Chris had prayed earlier for us, that there are those that are being prepared now, that God is already pricking their heart or moving in their lives, that will be drawn, whether they're invited, they choose to come, or for whatever reason. But may that Lord would just touch. And whether it be the as the field's being planted or the seed going down or watering or whatever the direction has, that God will get all the glory in all that we do. Thank you very much. We're going to go ahead and take up offering. Oh, any other announcements before I go forward? All righty. Praise the Lord. All right. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please? God. Hallelujah.
I don't think that would even work up here. Huh? You got yours?
What's that new program? He says it.
It's a what it is.
Yes, that's what. Praise the Lord.
That's okay, Brother Thomas. Oh, Lord. Are we ready? Oh, is that right? That's it. That's it. Oh, oh. Thank you.
wonder thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
They sound good, didn't they?
Praise. Sister Tab.
Praise the Lord.
You got a band? All right. Hope it'll be good.
Before I sing, as most of you know, Chris has been battling a lot of health problems lately, and we had an appointment today. He had to go for his CPAP machine today, and I'm hoping he's going to get lots of rest now that he has it, because he needs it. He's always been so tired. He works really hard, and I'm so thankful because he's always been a hard worker. We'll be married 18 years this year. In July 1st, and I've never known anyone to work harder than Chris. He's went to work at 2:00 in the morning and came home at 9:00 at night. He's just a hard worker, And I'm thankful because he's such a good provider for our family. But I just want him to be able to rest and feel like when he gets up the next morning that he's rested, to be able to go to work and feel good. But he had went and he had some blood work done, and something came back that there was something wrong with his liver. But we had prayed, and we went to the doctor, and we had some more blood work done, and everything came back okay. There is nothing wrong with his liver. I just want to give God praise for that. So y'all just help us keep praying, because he has to go to a hematologist now to find out why he's clotting like he is. So I'm just believing there's not going to be anything, that this was just a freak thing that happened with his body, and that all this is going to go away and he's going to be just fine. I'm just trusting God that everything's going to be fine with his body. But I'm going to sing this song because he lives. It's getting close to Easter. And I know that this is Sister Valerie's favorite song. So y'all worship with me.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
Gotta go down.
An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Gotta go down. Yes.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus.
Grave is there.
Praise God indeed.
Man, got any happy folks in the house tonight? Anybody else happy? Praise God. I'm so happy. My baby only had to spend one night in Guitar Hospital. And she's fine. And she's back home where she needs to be. Houses and land I may not own. Many riches be unknown. A little person in this world I may be. I can't keep up with the style, but I know I'm God's own child. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, and I know I have a soul sunset free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Others live on well. Jehovah owns this world. Don't you see? Underneath His loving wing, I'm as happy as a king. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, and I know I have a soul, a sunset free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Well, others live on wealth and pride. I'm just poor but satisfied. Great Jehovah owns this world, don't you see? Underneath His loving wing, I'm as happy as a king. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. If you know it, sing it. I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call, and I know I have a soul, sunset free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Amen. Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Well, God is good. Amen. All the time. It's good to know Him personally. Amen. Don't see how folks get along in the day without Him. Amen. We just find ourselves dependent on Him, needing Him every day. I have to have the Lord every day. I have to have His counsel. Sometimes I just need His comfort. Many times I always need His love. Sometimes I just need His warming hand of companionship, just to kind of put His hand on our shoulder spiritually and just kind of give us the assurance that everything's going to be all right. Isn't God good and great to us? Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the prophet Ezekiel in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. How many has ever heard the parable of the dry bones? God has spoke to me this week about dry bones. So let's read down through verse number 5, and then we'll ask the Lord just to lead us there. The 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, beginning with verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Everybody say, very dry. Very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Amen. Can we bow our heads? Brother Chris, would you ask the Lord's blessing and His anointing upon His messenger tonight? Yes, dear Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're blessed tonight, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. We are blessed. Can these bones live? Was the question. I'm going to let that be the topic of my message tonight in the form of a question. Can these bones live? I want you to
to muse that over in your mind and recite that over and over, not only during this message, but during the upcoming days as well. First of all, what a wonderful privilege to the prophet Ezekiel that the Lord carried him away in the spirit and allowed him to see such a magnificent vision as God brought to his attention. And if you study the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was a mighty prophet, and so many of the things that he prophesied go hand in hand with the book of Revelation. During this particular time, Israel had become very backslidden, very lackluster in their worship and their praise, and were scattered, and some had even drifted off into the worship of idols, and they did not resemble the Israel that were brought out of Egyptian bondage. That group was so dependent on God and so thankful to be out of that bondage, and was so even when they entered into Canaan land, there was such a peace and a joy and a thanksgiving to carry on the traditions that the Mosaic law had set aside. But Israel began to be divided. Israel began to be cold and withdrawn. In fact, in this particular time, Israel and Judah were basically two nations. And God wanted to bring them together. He wanted there to be one people. He wanted there to be one Israel. And he wanted Joseph's inheritance. Was it Ephraim? He wanted them to come together with the tribe of Judah, and they wanted not to be a Judah and a Israel, but he wanted them to be together. And later on, even after this vision, God spoke to him again and revealed unto him two sticks, and one stick was Judah, and one stick was Israel. And he said to bind those sticks together and to prophesy that they would become one. So this was the environment then when God spoke to Ezekiel concerning this particular vision that he saw. And I thought it very interesting that God would ask the prophet, "Can these bones live?" And then I also thought it very interesting as the prophet answered him. He said, "Lord, you know, or thou knowest." And I believe that Ezekiel knew what the answer was, but he knew also that God was the very reason that these bones could live. And I went on to read, and I'm going to read it too before I actually get into my thought tonight. You don't have to stand, but I want to begin in verse number 6. This is the continuation of the vision that the prophet saw. And God said, "And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. I want us to understand that tonight. As the bones begin to join to bones, as the sinews begin to knit the bones together, as the skeleton was covered with the skin, that all of it began to take place, still there was no breath in them. There was no life as of yet, even though the bones had come together. Then said he unto me, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." A very interesting vision, to say the least. And I would imagine that Ezekiel was very excited about the vision that he saw. And understandably, it was about the nation of Israel and bringing Israel back to the prominence that they was, to be God's chosen people and God's chosen generation. And all of this had a purpose. It was a vision, but God wanted to see this vision come to pass. And the prophet was to prophesy to Israel and tell them. And it's spiritually speaking about Israel. But the Lord began to deal with me this week on this same particular topic and how these bones were so dry. And I began to think about Ezekiel and his vision as he first laid eyes on these bones. And he saw the valley was full of these bones. And you'll see if you read the rest of that, these bones came together and it actually was a great and mighty army for the multitude of the bones that came together. And I thought about that, and I thought about how that they came together, but there was still no life in them until the breath of God breathed upon them. And I thought in the vision, I know it was a vision and it was spoken as a vision and the prophet prophesied as a vision, but I believe there's a lesson there for us as well. And I believe that God, I've heard several people allude to the fact of this. I think Sister Linda mentioned it other night about the soon coming of the Lord. And I believe that the Lord is nigh, but I also believe that there's going to be an end time revival. And I believe that this revival, I believe we're going to be surprised. I believe the church is going to be surprised at how many people are actually saved by this end time revival. You know, we need to get beyond the thought of they have to be saved in our church. We need to get beyond the thought that they have to be saved in our denomination, if you would, and understand that God is bigger than First Pentecostal Church. God is bigger than a little revival that's held here or in their community. And I believe with all of my heart that this same vision, this same God that saw this particular event transpiring in the vision was able to bring Israel back together and bring them as a united nation. And I thought, God, we need a move of God today, just like you did for the nation of Israel then, and unite them and bring them together. We need the churches to come together. We need all the saints to come together. We need the believers to come together, because Satan has got a hold on the world. Satan is trying to water down salvation. He's trying to come at the churches in so many ways. He's trying to sow discord. But I began to look at it, and I began to think about not only a vision, but I began to think about a reality today. And as we look spiritually over the religious world of today, it is very, very dry. I'm talking in the Pentecostal ranks as well. I'm talking about Christians. It has become such a routine. It has become such a duty to check off that I've been to church or I have read my Bible. And, you know, it seems like that we need to gather the bones together. Now think about these bones that are laying in very dry. The Bible was very explicit about these bones being very dry. And for bones to be very, very dry, they're going to have to lay in a dormant state for a number of years. And I related that to the church world today. I believe that the church world today has been laying dormant. Amen. And it's dried up. And let me tell you, I'm not talking about every congregation. Understand, I'm talking about the church in general. I'm talking about the practice of Christianity in general. It's become dry. It has become routine. It's become kind of a matter of fact thing. How many remembers when there was such an excitement and such a zeal to get to the church house? And how you felt such an emptiness if you wasn't there and you missed a service. And we don't see that in the world today. We don't see that in the church world today. It's almost like, well, if everything's convenience, then I will make it. I'll be able to get there and I'll be able to worship and praise the Lord and maybe come out a night or two on revival. But I began to think about this as God prophesied to Ezekiel, and he looked and he saw the multitude of dry bones. And I want us to get in a spiritual mind tonight. And I want us to understand that in the world today, there is a multitude of dry bones laying there, just waiting for the move of God. Understand, amen, that it's up to us to be able, because the prophet spoke and began to prophesy them, to basically tell them, you need to get together. Bones, you need to get together. Sinew, you need to get together. Skin, you need to come to the bones. And I thought about that. Ever before God could breathe the breath of life into the bones, there had to be a gathering together. And God began to speak to me and said, that's what the church needs to be doing today. If we can gather them together, God will send the breath. Amen. If we can come and bring them into the household, if we can reach out to a lost and dying world today and begin to put bone to bone, begin to put families back together, begin to put relationships back together, begin to tell people the only peace, the only satisfaction, the only real joy you're ever going to get is in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has nothing for you. They'll chew you up and spit you out. And the church world and people have become very, very dry in their spirituality. So much so that it's frowned on sometimes if you even clap your hands. God, let us never lose the liberty to glorify you and praise you in this house. Let us never lose the desire to lift our hands and glorify you. Lord, let it never be out of order to shout your name, amen, to glorify you and to praise you. Let us never become a church of dry bones. Let us never become a congregation, amen. It just goes through the motions. We need a revival spirit in the land today. We need the bones, amen, to become back together. All the dry bones that have been sitting there dormant for so many years needs the breath of God. So I ask us this question. The same question that God asked Ezekiel. Can these bones live? And as I ask and pose this question to you, I don't want you to shout out a name. I don't want you to even lip sync a name or whatever it is, but I want you to think. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's someone you work with. Maybe it's someone you live next door to. There's so many dry bones in the world today. Listen, the opportunity is there. So many times the church say, Lord, give me an opportunity to witness to somebody and walk right past their neighbor. Lord, send somebody with a desire to hear about the plan of salvation and walk in a store, amen, and you never know what that clerk's going through, and you never know that there's an opportunity right there staring us in the face, amen. Even though they look healthy, even though they look full of life, they still could be dry bones, amen, waiting for the moving of the Spirit, waiting for the breath of God to breathe upon us. And let me tell you something, folks, it'd be all right for me if God just breathed on First Pentecost to, amen. But I don't want to keep it just to ourselves. I want him to breathe on every church. I want him to breathe on every congregation. I want him to breathe on every young person. I want him to believe on every backslidden person. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't ever dare give up on a backslidden person. Amen. Because if you've ever been there, thank God that somebody didn't give up on you. Somebody kept praying for those dry bones. Somebody kept praying for the reviving spirit of God to breathe his breath into you. Oh, church, don't become a valley of dry bones. Church, don't become someone that's just laying around waiting for the move of God. It's time to come together. It's time to lay aside our little idiosyncrasies. It's time to lay aside our little petty differences and our opinions. And, our opinions don't mean anything. I believe if you sit down with people, you can come together on the Word of God. And the plan of salvation is not that difficult, folks. People have tried to make it so hard. The reason they tried to make it so hard, some have added things to it and some have taken things away. But I believe the Word of God is just as true today as it was in the day that it was written. It's not that hard to understand. It's not that difficult to obey. But here's one thing about it. Without the breath of God, we'll all become a valley of dry bones. We need God to breathe on the congregation. We need God to breathe on our cities. We need God to breathe in the White House. Amen. We need him to breathe in our leaders. Amen. We need God to breathe. Amen. In our schools. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because if we're not careful, these bones, amen, will begin to dry up. And they were very dry. Not just dry, but very dry. I've had opportunity being in the woods quite a bit and seeing some bones laying around. And I thought about this week, and because the Bible described them as being very dry. When you add very to something, that means it's extremely dry, okay? If the Bible said, oh, there's just a few dry bones, we probably have a different idea of how those bones was. But he went on to say, no, they were very dry. And when bones become to be very dry, they almost take on a powdery existence. You can pick up one of those dry bones, and many times it's some of it has already disintegrated, and you'll get some of that powdery stuff on your hands, and that means to me that it's been there for a long, long time. And you know, many, many times you'll find a bone that you know from the texture of it that it hadn't been laying in that state for a very long time because it has a different appearance. Amen. But the Bible tells us here that God spoke to Isaiah, to Ezekiel, and he saw these bones, and they were very dry. To me, it would seem like that they had been there for a number of years. There's no telling how long that they had been, but it was in a condition, amen, that you, when you first look at it, your first reaction was, it is a hopeless situation. And can I tell you that many churches and many preachers and many Christians, in fact, look at the world today as a hopeless situation. And I know that from some of the response, some of the things that I've heard, there's nothing you can do for them. They've heard the word of God. They've been invited so many times. They've been preached to. They know right from wrong. There's just no reaching them. Whatever the terminology is, so many times we hear that. But what that tells me is that person, that Christian, that witness for God is looking and is judging that those bones are past giving life to. And I would imagine if Ezekiel was asked a question, do you think these bones are going to live? Rather than say, oh Lord, you know they can, he said, thou knowest. What a response. Thou knowest. Because he realized that God is able to do all things. When's the last time you looked at what you thought was a hopeless situation? A person who has drifted so far, you think, from the presence of God that you kind of spiritually have written them off. And you look at them and they become a valley of dry bones. They become a hopeless situation. Oh, can these bones live? God, give me a revelation. Give me a vision never to give up on any dry bones that I come across. Doesn't matter if they hadn't set a foot in church in the last 30 or 40 years. Lord, don't let me give up on them because you didn't give up on me. Amen. I could have been one of those bones, amen, that was discarded, thrown away. But thank God by his breath, amen, one night he breathed within me. Amen. And I felt something that I never felt before. It is still giving me strength. It is still giving me life. You take away the breath of God, I'm nothing, absolutely nothing. But with the breath of God, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So I ask this question, and I ask us to ask ourselves. We see the hopeless addict. We see the person that we've tried to help and time again, and it just seems like they get farther and farther away. Next time, ask yourself this question, can these bones live? And I believe the answer is yes. But not without the breath of God. We can't change them. If I could change them, I promise you, I'd lay this microphone down, I'd walk out that door, and I'd personally go to every addict if I could find, and I'd change them. But I can't do it. Because we've tried, haven't we? We've tried. Some of you know people that are strung out. Some of you know people that are in a hopeless, they think a hopeless situation. But I want us to think about this story. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Amen. Can they come out of that? Hallelujah. Can they be delivered? Yes, but not without the breath of God. Amen. Amen. Because we can put them back together. Come on. And we've tried. We picked them up ourselves. We put clothes on their back. We put food in their stomach. We've done everything naturally what we can. But when we do all that, don't forget the breath of God. Amen. Because the breath of God is what's going to break that addiction. The breath of God is what's going to bring them out of that perverseness. The breath of God is what's going to give them a brand new start. Glory to God. We can do everything we can. But God has just asked us to get them together. Amen. Join them together and let the breath of God begin to put bone to bone, amen, sinew to bone, and skin to that bone. And the most important thing is life inside those bones. So that's First Pentecostal. Can these bones live? And your response is what? Yes. Yes. Not, I don't think so. Not, I've tried. Brother Eddie, you know how many times I've called him? You know how many times I've prayed for him? See, that sows doubt. That sows doubt. And I say it again. Thank God somebody didn't give up on me. Thank God somebody didn't quit praying for me. Thank God somebody didn't quit urging me to come to church and to seek God. Because they realized that this old dry bones, amen, could live again. Amen. And they can live. But it takes the breath of God. It takes the breath of God. Listen. In verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will. Behold, I will. I believe God is still a God of I will. Amen. I believe He still will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Amen. Glory to God. Lord, help us not to write folks off. Lord, give us grace and mercy as you've given us grace and mercy. Lord, give us eyes, Lord, to look past, God, the sin, past, God, all of the dryness of their life, and God, all of the things, God, that have stained their life, and help us look, God, to the possibility of those dry bones having life again, having the breath of life fill them, the Holy Spirit anoint them, glory to God, and save their soul. God, help us not to look at the world and give up on it, and to give up on our communities, and to give up on our families, because these bones can live. I asked you just a few minutes ago, could you think of someone? Could you have someone in mind as you read this, and someone that you've worked with, someone that you've prayed for and prayed with, and encouraged them and helped them, and it seems like they've gotten farther and farther and farther away from the Spirit of God, and it seems like they're in a situation where there's hopelessness there, and there's such a dryness in their life, and I thought about the dryness, and I thought about how the world tries to satisfy that dryness that is with them. And I remember my granddaddy talking about it so many times. He tried so many things. He went on trips. He did this. He tried that. He tried the entertainments. He tried they called them back then the honky tonks. He tried all of those things, thinking that he could feel that longing that was in there. And basically what it was a dryness that only the breath of God can satisfy. Amen. There's a song that says, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. How many knows that is so true tonight? Only a taste of the Lord coming and living in our lives, and bringing our spirit together with Him, and uniting our will to follow His will. That's the only peace and joy that we're ever going to find. But you see such dryness in the world today. You hear of these things and you wonder, how in the world could a human being commit such a terrible act? How could they do those terrible things? And you look into their eyes, and there's such a faraway stare. It's like that. It's like they're not even focusing. And you look in there, and you see this dryness. You see this emptiness. You see this thing that probably they've reached out to try to satisfy, but. Can I tell you, I don't believe there's anything in this world that can satisfy that longing other than the breath of God, other than the Spirit of God. That's what I'm talking about when I say the breath of God. Just as God formed and fashioned man, you and I know, if you've heard me preach, you've heard me use that analogy so much, that man that He formed and fashioned from the dust of the earth lay there, could not think, could not react, could not do anything until God breathed the breath of life into him, and then he became a living soul. Have we got somebody in our family? Have we got somebody in the workplace that when we look at them, we see the dryness, we see the emptiness? Ask yourself this question in the very near future. Can these bones live? Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a spouse. But the answer is yes. God, you know they can. You know they can. But not without the breath of God. not without His Spirit, not without His anointing. And I pray tonight, again, I use the analogy of the churches, and there is, I don't have to tell you, there seems to be such a dryness in the world today. Thank God that there's some revivals going, some moves of God, but you know, that's not really the norm. That's the exception in a lot of cases. But I pray, and I believe this. I believe that there's going to be an end-time revival. I believe that God's going to pour out His Spirit. Because God's going to have a church. Amen. God's going to have a people. Amen. And if we start seeing the rocks cry out, we better find an altar and say, Lord, help us to repent, God, of our evil ways and turn back to You. Because God is going to have a remnant. Amen. God is going to have a people. And I've said it time and time again. I believe we're going to be surprised who God pours His Spirit out on. If people are hungry, amen, God will fill that hunger. Amen. And it, you know, it may not come in this church. It may not come in, it may not even come in this nation. Folks, we see so tunnel vision sometimes. We think revival's got to be here. It's got to start here. But let me tell you something. It may start overseas somewhere and spread like wildfire because God's going to have a people. Amen. We know that, amen, when the Gentiles were grafted in. Thank God. I'm so thankful, amen, that God looked past just the Jewish nation and He opened up the door of salvation for whosoever will, because I was a whosoever will. Amen. And God, I believe that He's still able to open that door. And that's the reason I believe folks are going to be saved. Folks are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost that probably never imagined. Some we probably never even witnessed to. Amen. But there's a move of God. Thank God for the young people who've caught hold of that. And what I like about them is, it's one and all. I mean, wherever you are, whatever background you are, come on and be a part of us. Amen. Because if we'll gather them together, God will breathe on them. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's gather them together and let's watch that valley of dry bones. Amen. Get up. Amen. And begin to move for God. And I believe the revival will come as soon as we do that. It can start here. I've heard revival can start right here. Amen. It don't take but one person getting a hold of God and submissive and obedient, and it just like spreads like wildfire. We can all catch hold of it. So again, I remind you, can these bones live? Yes, of course they can. Amen. With the help of God, they can live. Don't give up on anyone. Don't give up on any opportunity that you have to just point somebody to the Lord. You know, you don't have to recite the Bible. You don't have to quote Scripture to them. Amen. If you can, that's great and wonderful. But there's a lot of people just looking for somebody to love them. Just looking for somebody to care for them, because you see, they're not getting that in the real world. Unfortunately, some's not even getting it in their own family. And there's no wonder why there's so many people in such a situation as they are today, because they're not finding that fulfillment. They're not getting that only God can provide. Aren't you glad He breathed on you? Aren't you glad He saw you and He saved you and He filled you with His Holy Spirit? Amen. Praise God. I love you so very much. Let's catch hold of the vision. Amen. Let's ask ourselves that question. Can these bones live? I believe they truly can. It's already been announced, but be sure to come this weekend, this Sunday, and Sunday morning for the drama. We will not be having Sunday night service. Ordinarily, we have on Sunday night, we have the communion service, but we're going to be able to use a tie all of that in Sunday morning. So we will be having the regular Sunday school, and then we will be having the Easter drama presentation. Also, we will be having communion Sunday morning. For Easter Sunday. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. Amen. That's what it's about. Amen. Jesus arose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And we celebrate that. So we will be doing that in recognition of His body and of this precious blood that was shed. So be mindful of that. Also, let's remind about the Easter lilies. I know it was mentioned last Sunday, but some folks maybe knew what we do. Is we encourage folks to bring an Easter lily in remembrance of someone that they know, someone in their family that has passed away. And we read those names on that Sunday morning. It's a very moving, wonderful tradition that we do here. And every time you look at the Easter lilies, you think about those precious saints that have already gone home. So if you have a family member or a loved one, just bring an Easter lily and bring the names, and those will be read. All right. Have we missed anything? Would you stand? Amen. How many knows that Wednesday night altar is always open? Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Yes, ma'am, Sister Tabitha. Thank you. That's this Friday night. That, is this the baptism one? Okay, they're going to be having a baptism. Be bringing a big bucket out there, a big horse trough or something. Amen. Here's water. What hinders, right? Amen. So they'll be baptizing out there. So pray for those. Thank God. Thank God for that catching fire out there. Amen. And bringing souls to Christ. So thank you for sharing that. Any needs tonight? This altar's open. If you want prayer, come and we'll pray for you. Amen. Sister Lori.
Took her to the hospital today. They thought that they could get her home, but the doctor said no way. She's not able to go home yet, so they're having to take her back to Pine Knoll, and it's just, you know, one of those things. Insurance don't want to cover this. That, you know, y'all know how all that stuff is. So, but just pray that all of that will work out. Amen. All right. Brother Jim, come if you would. Dismiss us with a word of prayer. Thank you for coming out on Wednesday night. Thank you for your attendance tonight and your attentiveness. Amen. And what's the question we're going to ask? Can these bones live? Amen. If you don't believe they're going to live, how are you going to expect that person you're witnessing to believe they're going to live? Amen. I believe they can live. Praise God.
Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Not to interfere with the flow, but I didn't mention it earlier, but we'd love if any of you could help. Right after service, we're going to be moving some of the items here, just shifting them over. And then we got a few pieces to bring from the Curtis Center over. So if anybody could help us, we'd love to let y'all. And just we just need all we can get. But yes, sir.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. That's right. What a testimony. What a testimony. God is great.
Yes.
Amen. Praise all the time. He sure is. Praise the Lord. Well, if all hearts and minds, yes, Miss Tabitha, go right ahead. Amen. Amen. There's such a hunger. And so many just need to be invited. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All righty. Well, if all hearts and minds are clear, like I said, as Brother Eddie said, don't forget all the announcements. There's so many wonderful things going on. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Lord, there's such powerful words tonight, dear Lord, such powerful lesson that you've allowed us all to sit through. And, dear Lord, may it not go void. Lord, may we let this continue to register in our hearts and in our mind, dear Lord, as we continue our daily walk. Lord, may we be those that don't give up on others. Dear Lord, may we be continuous in prayer. And, Lord, we know that through you all things are possible. And, dear Lord, we're placing these souls in your hands. And, Lord, may we get that revival. May we be stirred up, dear Lord. May we be encouraged, dear Lord, that we will go forth and that we will stand for Jesus. In your name, dear Lord, we do pray, and we thank you again for these families. Keep us safe as we prepare to depart. Bring us back on our appointed time. In Jesus' most precious name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Y'all have a wonderful rest of the week. If anybody can give us a hand, we would.